Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us here today. Wonderful weather, wonderful church. I pray, Lord, that you'll use me as I speak to your people. Help this message come straight from you and empty me of anything of myself that is hindering me deliver this message to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I hear that you had Adam Ramden here a few weeks ago presenting something on lineage. Those of you who don't remember or weren't here, Lineage is a series of videos that we're making on to do with the Reformation. And it's caused me to do quite a lot of traveling in the last 9 months. I've been to France, to Scotland, to Switzerland, to Spain, not to Spain, to Prague, to Czech Republic, Sweden, Denmark, all since November. It's been quite intense. But one of the things that struck me the most was somewhere we went 2 weeks ago. It was a place called Castelluzzo. Has anyone heard of it? It's actually in the Waldensee Valley. Who's heard of the Waldenses? Okay, many of you heard of the Waldenses. Now, Castelluzzo is a cliff edge on top of in the mountain range of the Waldensee Valley. And back in the 1600s, what happened was the Waldenses were under extreme pressure from the papacy, and they were hiding for their lives. You know, they were fighting for their lives. They were trying to survive by hiding in the mountains. But occasionally, and in one particular instance, they got found by the papal soldiers. And instead of killing them there and then, they marched them to the top of this mountain, and they were on this cliff edge, and they made them look down at their death and say, "You recant or I throw you down." And these Waldenses were faithful, and they did not recant. And as I was there 2 weeks ago, I sat on top of this mountain and I looked straight down like this, and it's a sheer drop. And I said to myself, if I was in this position, would I turn back? Or would I be faithful? It was something I really thought about. In this very moment, if I had death staring me in the face, would I be faithful to God? Or would I recant? The message of my title today is no turning back. No turning back. If we take our Bibles to Luke chapter 5, and we're starting at verse 1, and we're going to be reading to verse 11. Can I get an amen when you're there? Amen. Amen. Okay. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. So it was, as the multitude pressed about to hear the word of God, that he stood up by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen. Now let us understand this. Let us understand a bit about this. Simon, who was a fisherman, who I'm sure he knew what to do, as it was his trade, had spent all night trying to catch fish, and he didn't catch anything. And here we have Jesus preaching to the multitude, but there's so many people around Jesus that he needs to use a boat to get out of land so that he can see more people to preach them the gospel. Now, Peter, who must have been extremely tired, I don't know what jobs all of you have, but if you spend all night doing something and you're at the point where it's time to go home, you know, I don't know what some of you do, but let's say you're a nurse, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, and whatever it is that you're doing, the aim of your job, you have been unable to do that night. Bearing in mind you're working through the night, you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be tired, most probably going to be hungry, most probably just want to sleep. I know I've done some all-nighters before, and it's hard work. And at least I got some stuff done. But Peter got nothing done, and it was his livelihood. So he's there now washing his nets, ready to go home. And Jesus asks him if he can use his boat. Now the main thing we can learn from this is Peter, first of all, willfully allowed Jesus to use his boat and took him out. So he was tired, he was hungry, but he used his business in the aid of the gospel. Are you following what I'm saying? He used the only thing he knew what to do to help Jesus to spread the gospel. Now, after Jesus had finished delivering this message, he didn't just leave Peter in the moment. Peter's act of allowing Jesus to use him in Jesus' ministry actually blessed Peter, because Peter was now able to catch a multitude of fish. How many of you have been fishing before? How many fish did you catch? Only caught one. I've been fishing before, and I was having a competition with my sister. I caught none, she caught two. It's hard work to do fishing. Extremely hard work. Now picture this. Peter has been told to cast his net into the water, into the deep of the water. And there's so many fish that the boats begin to sink. Can you get a visualization of this? There's so many fish, in fact, that they had to call another boat across, which also began to sink because of the multitude of fish. So number one we can learn is when we use our businesses for the glory of God, he will abundantly bless you. There's a story by a man who I'm not gonna say the name of it just yet, but it's just come to my mind. He decided to leave the country, his village, to go into the country. And he decided to use his business for the glory of God. He said to the Lord, whatever I give back, I'm going to give you 20% instead of 10. Tithe is 10. He decided to give 20. He was fruitful. He said, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you 30%. He started making more money. Okay, Lord, I'm going to give 40, I'm going to give you 50, I'm going to give you 60. He ended up giving, I think, about 80 or 90% of his money to the Lord. Now, this company is a company all of us have heard of. In fact, we use this company on a daily basis to brush our teeth. His name was Colgate. How many of you heard of Colgate toothpaste? How many of you use Colgate here? He used his one and only thing that he knew what to do for the service of the Lord, and he got blessed abundantly. But the story doesn't end there, because now we have Peter, who has caught all this fish, so much fish that the boat is sinking, that Jesus says to him in verse 10, he says, do not be afraid, from now you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. So despite the blessing, Peter understood that I don't need this job anymore because I'm following you now. Because you can provide me fish and food and clothing in an instant. So then he spent the next 3 years following Jesus. He walked on water. He watched Jesus feed the 5,000, turn bread and fish and multiplied it to feed thousands of people. So it's very interesting that we get to a stage in Peter's life where he turns back. Now, if all of us took ourselves and our lives right now, and we moved back 3 years, and we remembered where we were three years ago, I'm sure many of us have grown in many different aspects, whether it's increases in salary in your work, whether it's spiritually, all of us have grown, whether it's grown older, all of us have grown in some stages of our life in the last 3 years. Something has changed. Now with Peter, they had just experienced Jesus dying on the cross. And they would have been sad, they would have been weary, they would have been frustrated, because they'd just given up the last 3 years. Now we've just seen how much fish Peter was able to attain from Jesus. And if you think about giving your life up for something for the next 3 years, and that one thing that you're giving your life up for then falls away, you think, what could I have done in the last 3 years? I could have had two fish companies. I could have been a manager. I could have done this. I could have done that. These disciples would have been extremely frustrated. Are you following where I am? So now we have a scenario where we go to John chapter 21. Let's turn to John chapter 21. And we're reading from verse 1 to 14. But before I go there, I'm going to tell you a quick story about me personally turning back. I have a sister who lives in the island of Bermuda. It's a beautiful island, very expensive, but it's a wonderful island. I love going there. It's probably the place I've visited the most. And as a young child, probably from the age of 13 to maybe about 20, 19, my father used to send me and my sister almost every single summer. And when I became 17, I was old enough to start riding a motorbike. And my sister rented me a motorbike. And I have a confession. I like to drive fast. And I was on this bike, and I was overtaking people, and I was driving really quickly. And I went past a group of young ladies. And I'm heading in one direction. And I decided to look back and take my eyes off the road. And at that moment, the shape of the road went into a bend. But because I was looking back, I didn't see the bend coming. So I hit the curb. And I'm in shorts, I'm in t-shirts, and the bike just spun over, hit the deck, and I just went ice skating across the concrete ground. And I ripped off all the skin off my leg. I learned a very valuable lesson there. Don't turn back. Keep your eyes fixed on the path ahead of you. No matter what the circumstances are in life, keep your eyes focused and going forward. But here we have Peter in John chapter 21. We're going to go from verse 1 to 14. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. So now just a little bit of backstory. Jesus has died at this point, and he's risen again. And we have the fishermen who have decided to go back on the sea. We have Peter who's decided to go back on the sea. Ellen White actually says that he decided to go back and do what all he knew what to do. Some of us are in our journeys in life, and we get discouraged. We get frustrated. Life goes up and down. You know, I see lots of kids here, and I have two kids of my own. And sometimes the kids can really test you. And sometimes they cause you to go back and do things that you didn't necessarily think you would do. Maybe it's being frustrated and shouting at them. Maybe it's having a little bit of a short temper because everything's just built up. But all those things that you've given to the Lord, we sometimes find ourselves going back and redoing them again. And here we have Peter, who all he knows what to do is fish. All he knows, his only trade in life is fishing. Now his one savior has died. The one person he's worked for in the last 3 years has died. So he goes back and fishes. That's a little bit of a backstory. So we go to verse 2. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana and Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. See how it was Simon who instigated that? Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Reading the Desire of Ages, she goes into detail that they discussed in depth the last 3 years of what happened and how Jesus had led their ministry. And now we're at a point where they're weary, they're down, they're frustrated, and it's almost like a carbon copy of what happened 3 years previously with Simon Peter. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude to fish. Therefore, that disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. Okay, how many of you can take a guess why Jesus said to plunge it into the right side? Now, bear in mind, 3 years previously, Jesus was on the boat and he said, "Cast it into the deep." Now, fast forward 3 years, Jesus specifically says, "On the right side." Can anyone take a guess why? The right side would be the way to God. You're onto something. Okay. Before I tell you the answer to this question in a bit more detail, I discovered something last night. Actually, I take it back. My wife discovered something last night, and she shared it with me, and I found it fascinating. When we go on a boat these days, we have the steering at the back of the boat, don't we? And the person who probably has the engine there, he's able to steer at the back of the boat. You go left, you go right. In those days, the steering was on the right-hand side of the boat. So fishermen very often did not cast the net on the right side because the net could get caught in the steering mechanism and rip the net. But here we have Jesus telling them to do something which is not normal. It is not normal for a fisherman to cast his net on the right side. The reason they had it on the right side is because most people are right-handed. So they would have the steering mechanism on the right side of the boat. So it is not normal for you to cast the net on the right-hand side just in case the net breaks. But what I discovered is that Jesus was on the shore. The boat would have been over here. Casting the net on the right side would have been the direction that Jesus was. So beforehand, Jesus was on the boat. So it didn't matter where they cast the net. But now Jesus is on the shore. Peter has to have his eyes fixed on Jesus. And because he's got his eyes fixed on Jesus, Jesus is able to bless him abundantly. Now, if he had cast it on the left-hand side, he would have had his back to Jesus, which is no use. As Christians, we must have our eyes fixed on Jesus, because without that, we're catching nothing. Are you following where I am? Ellen White has a wonderful quote where she says, "And Jesus had a purpose in bidding them cast their net on the right side of the ship. On that side, he stood upon the shore. That was the side of faith. If they labored in connection with him, his divine power combining with their human effort, they could not fail of success." In our day-to-day lives, our human effort combined with Jesus will not lack success. It's a promise. It's a given. We must be so in tune with Jesus that he is leading our step, every single step of the way. Now, it's hard. Sometimes it's a challenge. But often enough, you find yourself getting frustrated with your children when you haven't had that time with God. You find yourself slipping up and going back into old ways when you haven't had that time with God. Peter was frustrated because he had spent 3 solid years with Jesus. Now, he almost didn't have that time with God. So he slipped back into his own ways. But Jesus showed him that it's not the end. He showed him that "I will fill your nets." It was a reminder of what happened 3 years ago. It was a reminder that "I can provide for you, but listen, you don't need this. You need me, and I need you to go out and carry on delivering the gospel." Now, the first step is always faith. It has to be faith. At first, In the first story, Peter stepped out in faith. He gave his boat, his business. He gave it to God and God blessed it abundantly. Then in faith, he left his business and he followed God for 3 years. Again, we fast forward 3 years. He's on the boat again. He's not got any faith because he's gone back to what he used to do. And again, Jesus says, cast it on the right-hand side. He has his eyes fixed on Jesus. He steps back out in faith. He casts the net and the fish are full. It begins with faith. You following what I'm saying, church, today? Okay. Now, ironically, the book of Peter speaks about the steps of faith that we need to take. It actually talks about the ladder of Christian progression. Now, sometimes we look at people and we say, oh, that person is very knowledgeable. That person knows all the Bible prophecies. That person does this. That person does that. When in actual fact, the very first step in following God is faith. We'll turn our books to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Can I get an amen when we're there, church? Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus isn't saying to know all the knowledge first. He isn't saying to exercise self-control first. He isn't saying to exercise perseverance first. He's saying, add to your faith. Add to your faith. So we as Christians, we have to step out of faith before we can do anything else. Whether that's your business, whether that's your home life, whether that's your ministry, whether that's whatever you find yourself doing. It could be hospitality. We must step out in faith. A few years ago, I was preaching in India. And I was preaching to the people and I was saying, you must go out and spread the gospel. You must come out of this building and go door knocking and do this and do that and do this and do that. And it was only upon reflection, after going through reading my Bible and understanding the Word of God more, that I realized, actually, your gift may not be door knocking. Your gift may be hospitality. Indians are very hospitable. Extremely hospitable. Your gift may be videography, which is what I do. Your gift may be driving a taxi. It may be feeding the homeless. All of these different acts working together are for the glorification of God and to bring people closer to God. There is not one body, one part of the body that is more important than the other. We are all a collective group of people and we must be diligent in working together, but be diligent in the gifts and talents the Lord has given us in spreading the gospel. Now, I don't know what any of you guys do for a living or what you do day to day, but I say to you, step out in faith. And when you give to the Lord, don't turn back when discouragement comes. Stay faithful. There's a story as I close. I know that you have to be at this church at a certain time, so I'm not going to keep you too long today. But there's an interesting story of something that took place over 250 years ago. And the story goes like this. There was a group of people who set up some evangelistic meetings in Wales. And because of these evangelistic meetings, people got converted. And there was a particular family who became converted, who decided to give up everything and use their ministry to reach out to other people. And what they did was, is they jumped on a boat. They traveled thousands of miles to India. And they said they were going to find a village of people that they can minister to. Now, They found a village, but in this village, they would be careful with my words because of the young people. They would decapitate you if you fell out of line. And they would parade them around their campsite as a warning to any foreigners who would come in and try and do things to them. But this family stayed faithful. Now, they became so weary that they weren't able to convert anybody that they almost left. But right when they were about to leave, they converted one family in this whole village. Now, this family decided to take it upon themselves to minister to each and every one of the other families. However, the chief of the village got wind of this and was not very satisfied that this family was trying to convert other people. So they called a meeting and they said to the family, they actually said to the father who was the leader of the home, they said to the family, to the father, if you do not renounce your faith, we're going to kill one of your sons. I think they had two sons. They're going to kill his children, sorry. We're going to kill his children. I think he had two sons. I may be wrong on that. And he turned around and he said to them, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And in that moment, the sons were killed. And again, they then approached the wife. And they said to the wife, they said to the husband, if you do not retract now, we'll also take away your wife. He said, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. With his sons and his wife gone, they eventually said to the husband, it's your turn now. If you do not retract, we're going to also kill you. He said to them, though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. How many of us know that song? I have decided to follow Jesus. That is where that song comes from. The amazing thing about the story is the father was killed. However, the chief, after contemplating things, could not believe that this family had given up so much for one man named Jesus that he said there must be some truth in this message. And he converted. And not only did he convert, he converted his whole village. Not only did he convert his whole village, that village went on to spread the gospel to other villages. Amazing. The question is today, will you decide to not turn back? Will you decide to give your all? Peter turned back, but then he turned back again, the right way. I implore each and every one of us, do not turn back. Stay faithful. It's a long journey, and it's not easy, and it has its moments, it has its frustrations, it has its times of contemplation of what have I just done. But as Jesus blessed you in the beginning, he can bless you again. He can bless you repeatedly. But not only can he bless you, he can use you to be a beacon of light in your community. In this community, in the Lighthouse community. How ironic that you're called the Lighthouse Church. He can use you to be lights in this community if you give all you know what to do to give to the Lord. I was a videographer. I spent 3 years at university. I did not have a clue what I was going to do with my degree. And in my third year, I gave my life to God. I went on this journey where I left my job from Sky. I left my job from the BBC. And I said, I'm giving my all to you. Now, what does a videographer have to do in the Seventh-day Adventist Church in this country? It's extremely limited. But I decided to persevere. And I went from faith to faith to faith to faith. And I had my moments when I turned back. Don't get me wrong. I had my moments where I went for a job interview and I thought, I need to go back into the work environment. But God kept providing miracle after miracle after miracle. And recently of this year, I became employed by the Adventist Review at the General Conference, ARTV, as a videographer on a new project they're creating in sort of creating Adventist Netflix. Not for entertainment purposes, but to have materials to evangelize to others. Materials that we can use as Adventists to enhance, to move the gospel forward. Now, who would have thought in 2011 when I got my degree that when I knelt down and I prayed, Lord, what would you have me do with the only gift I have, that I'll be standing right here now preaching to the Lighthouse SDA Church, saying that I am a living testimony of what happened to Peter. So I implore you, whether it's hospitality, whether it's a taxi driver, whether it's a nurse, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a cleaner, give your all to the gospel. And I want to invite any one of you here who want to make that step to say, whatever I can do, I'm going to give it to the Lord, to stand up as we close in prayer. I'm going to ask my elder here, brother, I can't remember your name. Keith. I'm going to ask Keith to come forward and close us in prayer. And anyone else who feels a burden to use what they have, to also come forward as we close in prayer. Let's pray.
Lord, we thank you for this message this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the story of faith of this missionary family. And we would pray, Lord, that we can have a faith like theirs. We know troubles are coming, Lord, and we need to take a stand. So please be with us as we determine to follow you so that we can have our eternal reward in your kingdom. Give us the strength, give us your love, give us wisdom, give us perseverance as we keep on till the end of the road, till you come and take us to glory. Please be with us and give us an extra measure of your love as we persevere and determine to follow you. We ask these things through Jesus Christ.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.